This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 11 years now, first online and now as a podcast. We cover what's new and interesting, and we filter out all the BS. This podcast gives listeners a chance to hear at length from people and companies who are making a real mark in the industry with new ideas or just old-fashioned hard work and smarts. You can listen to episodes online, get it from iTunes or Google Play, or use your favorite podcast app to pull down the RSS feed. We now have a companion podcast called Projects, hosted by my longtime industry friend Michael Tutton. That show is all about digging deep on the creative and tech behind some landmark projects. 69 is sponsored and supported by ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. If you've followed the digital signage business for a few years, you've probably seen stories about the financial tailspins of a set of companies that eventually got blended together as Creative Realities, or CRI for short. Sitting in the cheap seats watching it all go down, I'm sure I wasn't the only one thinking, well, this isn't going to end well. Then the company merged with another company, Conexus World, which had me thinking, who? And then, why? Turns out there was a master plan here, started years earlier. Rick Mills, the CEO of Conexus, had long had roll-up plans in the digital signage business, and picking up CRI was his first, but not his only move. He brought some structure to the business, calmed things down, including the clients, and in the last couple of quarters, brought a company that had been hemorrhaging red ink into the black. Now he's aggressively hiring people, looking to expand, and planning to acquire some smaller competitors to become one of the big boys in the digital signage solutions business. So Rick Mills, thank you very much for joining me today. Just to get started, maybe the best thing to do would be to get you to give me a rundown on what CRI is all about now and where it came from.
Okay, Dave, sure, thanks. CRI today, what we're all about is really executing digital signage engagements for customers. And that involves a lot of different customer segments. But we are very, very focused. We're narrowly focused on the digital components of that. So we start with, in some customers, it's what does the customer engagement look like? And so we have a whole planning strategy with the customer on what they want their individual customer journey to look like. So we can start there. And then we go to design of what that experience might look like. We might design some content and add some content around that, Dave. And then ultimately, we would execute that and roll that out through all of our customer locations, whether it be retail, corporate communication, automotive. It all really depends upon what sector. Mm-hmm. So that's where the business is today. We're five offices located across the United States and Canada. And the business is running very smooth now. Mm-hmm. You did mention earlier in the question, you know, where has Creative Realities been at? Well, Creative Realities, we merged Conexus into Creative Realities October 15th, 2015. So it's a little more than it's about 17 months, give or take, into the merger.
Sure.
And
so when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking before we turned on the recording. I'm somebody who's followed the story of the blended company for a number of years now, and for many years that story was splattered with red ink, so to speak. And when Conexus World merged in with CRI/Wireless Ronin/Broadcast International and whoever else, people like me said, oh, good Lord, what's going on now? And why did they do that? So why don't we just dive straight into that and tell the story?
Okay. So first off, understand a little bit has to do with my background. Mm-hmm. And so maybe we'll start there. I came out of the IT space. I started an IT company many, many years ago, one of the first ones in Louisville, Kentucky, which is where we're located today. And I grew that business up. I did a merger with another fella. I took that company public in 1992. And, did 18 mergers and acquisitions, and in 1999 we were doing about $700 million in sales, and I had 4,000 employees across the U.S. and 40 offices. So I'm a guy who comes from this technology space. I've grown businesses and done that in the past. I ultimately looked at the digital space beginning in 07, 08. I felt like it was an industry that would ultimately be ripe for consolidation and ripe for some of the same changes that occurred in the IT infrastructure industry that I came from.
Right.
I felt like it was an industry populated with a lot of very small, not enterprise grade companies with very few enterprise grade business leaders running those businesses. And some of them tended to be more artsy and crafty than true business folks. Mm-hmm. So I ultimately started Kinexys. We became back office to a number of my competitors today in the industry.
And what did, when you say back office, what was Kinexys doing? Or was it Kinexys or Kinexys World?
It's Kinexys World.
Okay.
We refer to it as Kinexys, but you are correct. It was Kinexys World. And we were the installation and service arm. So at the end of the day, when some of the competitors in the business today talk about rolling out 200 locations across the U.S., I was actually the feet on the street that did that work. Mm-hmm. We did all the project management, the logistics, and ultimately the end user install. And we did it not only here in the U.S., but we did it in 45 or 50 countries throughout the world.
Okay.
We had an office in Belgium. We had an office in South America and in Kentucky. So that was the business we were in.
And you weren't really rolling trucks so much as you were, as I understand it, kind of like, as you said, a project manager, and you subbed to contractors all over the place and kind of rode shotgun over them. Is that accurate?
To a certain extent, yes. Although I had many, many, many of these service relationships back from my systems integrator days when, you know, I rolled out 1,200 phone systems
right.
at once. I rolled out the point of sale system at, you know, 1,000 Krogers over 4 years, right? So we did Procter & Gamble was one of my customers and did 12,000 PCs a year with Procter &
right.
Gamble all over the U.S. So I had these wonderful service relationships and ultimately just rolled them into what became Kinexys, Dave.
Right. And these are just another type of endpoint, so it wasn't a big reach to do this based on the experience you already had.
That is correct.
Okay. All right, so Kinexys World was ticking along, and then what happened?
Well, Creative Realities, I think it's fair to say that was a brand that mm-hmm. had at one time been historically a strong brand as Creative Realities, but had gotten into some trouble through a combination of mergers with a company like a Wireless Ronin and Broadcast prior to that, and maybe the folks running it just didn't understand the T's and C's of how to get those things done, how to integrate companies. And maybe they didn't have experience in mergers. Maybe it really wasn't an industry they were familiar with. And so
they also had investors who were kind of dipping in and diving out again, right?
Yeah, there was certainly some of that going on. Yep. So a lot of moving pieces and parts. I took a look at it when they put it on the market in March of 2015, a book ultimately made its way to me, and I reached out and I said, guys, I think I can come in and help, and here's the things that I would come do.
Uh-huh.
And so ultimately, we consummated a merger. You know, I bet to a certain extent on myself and my management team because I took a 100% stock. I took no cash out. So in effect, I literally just gave up my company and merged it in, and I took stock in exchange.
Uh-huh. Big leap.
Well, I felt like it was unique. It required a unique skill set, and I just happened to be a guy that was – I'd spent some time as a turnaround guy. Mm-hmm. So I understood turnaround and the choices you have to make. And I'm also a grower, a person that knows how to grow business. So – I was able to do those two things, and it was hard work. I mean, first off, we had to get the right people and the right facilities in the right locations. around the country. So we closed a number of facilities, repurposed some people, and repurposed some functions. For example, Dave, distribution. Well, New Jersey is a lot more costly to do distribution in New Jersey than is Louisville, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. So we moved all distribution to Louisville, Kentucky out of New Jersey. And there's another reason why. We're located 8.3 miles from the UPS Worldwide Air Hub.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dave, I get a call at 11 o'clock at night. I can have a player on a plane at midnight, have it picked up anywhere in the U.S. at 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. Attack is at a retail store or some other place of business at 9. And by 10 a.m., that digital system is up and running.
Yeah.
So I had to do all that. I literally cut the SG&A. There was a lot of unnecessary expense going on. We cut SG&A by over 50%. And it's one of the reasons today our gross margin, combined gross margin in our last quarter, was roughly about 50%, just because they just had a lot of stuff going on that didn't need to happen. So, but I quickly jumped in. I went and saw virtually every customer. Well, not virtually. I saw every customer face to face and explained to them the process we would be on and that we would ultimately execute very well and give them great service. And we managed to keep all the customers. And today our customer base is very satisfied and happy. And as is shown by the business now continuing to grow, mm-hmm. business had been flat for a number of years. Dave, I don't know the whole history, but it hadn't done much. And it was poking along at $12 million a year, give or take. And I think in Q4, our numbers were just under $6 million in revenue. And in Q1, we announced, I think it was $6.4 million in revenue. So today we're on a $26, $27 million revenue track, which is the guidance I have given to the market.
Mm-hmm. And you're at a point now where you're, I think I saw something in the financial saying you're still getting some outside money in. You're not fully self-sustained.
No, not at all. So it's actually the exact opposite.
Okay.
So we're accretive in cash now and are generating free cash flow for the first time. Never happened before. During the period where the business was in deep trouble, and right as I came on board, we went and sold $4.3 million worth of bonds just to keep the business open.
Yeah.
Right. Had to do it. And that was it. So our single largest investor is a group, Pegasus Capital, out of New York. They're a $2.2 billion equity fund. Mm-hmm. They are so pleased with our financial performance that in the month of December, we went out and Pegasus bought 100% of all of our bonds.
Oh, okay.
So our debt is totally in safe hands. And so we will work. And we expect to begin reducing the debt throughout 2017. We haven't formalized a plan yet on how to do that. But from an operating point of view, we're generating free cash flow. And the business has got enough cash in it that the business is continuing to run well. I think at the end of Q1, we ended up with $3.5 million cash in our balance sheet, something like that. So the business is continuing to grow.
And what's the size of the company now? In terms of headcount?
Oh, headcount. Today we're 86, 87 people across the U.S.
And what did you start with?
It's interesting. We started with, well, when Kinexus and Creative Realities first merged, I think the number was about 105.
Okay.
So we're down about 20 just because there was overlap, didn't need folks. And
right.
And I'm a very disciplined SG&A guy, and it part of my DNA, my background.
But did you drop down even further than that, and you're building up now again?
You know what? I think that's an accurate assessment. I think we got down to about 70,
uh-huh.
and now added 15. I expect to add certainly another 10 in the next 60 to 90 days as we continue to grow. And then and we expect to add a lot more throughout the year, but that's a little bit different story on how right. those folks are getting in it.
And what kind of people are you looking for? Because I'm sure there are people listening thinking, oh, people are hiring.
Yeah. Well, I'm always looking for great sales folks, really experienced sales folks. Mm-hmm. We're looking for really experienced project management staff. And those are really some of the key positions that we're continuing to fill.
Right.
It takes time and real money to make and host this podcast, so I'm grateful for the continuing support of ScreenFeed.
Hi, this is Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. I hope you're enjoying the podcast as much as I am. I've loved Dave's blog since we started in the industry. It's now our 10th year at ScreenFeed, and we've grown to be a reliable partner for the industry, serving over 1,700 customers with over 100,000 screens globally, and we're currently getting 10 million content requests daily. But more important than that is that we make content beautiful, functional for the medium, and we help our customers meet their goals of increasing viewership and satisfying customers. If you don't know how ScreenFeed can help you, it's worth 5 minutes to browse our website or give us a call. If you're out walking your dog, driving home, or relaxing on your favorite chair, just make a mental note to check us out. Now back to the podcast.
So it wasn't so much that the business model for CRI and the blended companies wasn't workable. It was simply that it needed more adults in the room to get the thing organized and working properly.
I would say, yeah, that's an accurate assessment. You know, we're a digital integrator that happens to own our own content management system. Mm-hmm. We are not a content management system company. Mm-hmm. And so we use that as a position of strength against our competitors, and it's been successful for us.
Is it problematic, though, if you're going to a prospective client that's on another system or maybe doesn't want to use that system? Are you saying, well, actually, you need to use RoninCast?
Absolutely not. Today, we support a minimum of 5 CMSs.
Okay.
I have customers on 5 different CMSs today. And by the way, we no longer have any customers on broadcast. We have migrated every customer, and the old broadcast system is shut down.
Yeah. I have some familiarity with it, so I'm just going to say, okay.
Yeah, right. I wanted full disclosure, Dave,
yeah.
Right?
So you're kind of CMS neutral, so to speak. You can lead with what you have internally if that's what makes sense, but you're not you're not making clients beholden to it at all, and you'll figure out what's going to work for them.
Yeah, really, it's all about what's the right solution for the customer.
Right.
And then we make sure we build that solution, and we remain, to a certain extent, product agnostic. It's all about the right solution for the customer.
So when you took over, when you got the launch codes and everything, was it pretty smooth, or were there some bumps on the highway?
Oh, well, there's always a lot of bumps on the highway. Of course, you know, you're the new CEO coming in, and a new CEO that has a company and a brand that's in distress and duress and that required quick action. So that that concerns people. It scares people. Mm-hmm. It scares some of your employees and even potentially some of your customers. So it just required a lot of hand holding, a lot of coaching, and a lot of really, really hard work. That's all I can say.
Would the people like me were intrigued by what was going on? Were CRI's customers even really aware of what all was going on in terms of the financials and everything?
Yeah, there were definitely customers that were concerned.
Okay.
And frankly, when you have a brand that was in trouble, you tend to see towards the end there, you tend to see very high turnover, which causes disruption in customer service, mm-hmm. which creates dissatisfied customers. And I mean, and that's not a CRI phenomenon. That's any business that
sure.
gets under distress, right, Dave? Mm-hmm. So we had to go plug that very quickly with customers, number one. Number two, we frankly had to deliver good customer service. And as the old Kinexys team, we were very comfortable delivering first-class service. And so that's been a big adjustment. You know, we have an old saying here, pants on fire. I mean, if there's a customer outage, if we have a customer down for whatever reason, I expect this entire organization to focus on that customer and let's get the customer up. Mm-hmm. We'll figure out why, whose fault it was, and who pays for it later. The first thing you do is get the customer up, period.
Are there particular verticals that you guys go after? I know from the Ronin days, at least that side of the business, there was Chrysler, Daimler Chrysler, and on the CRI side, Macy's. Are those are still clients, I assume?
Yes, we do a lot of fashion retail clients, right? We as Kinexus had a number of fashion retail clients. So today, for example, we do and have done every Chanel store in the United States for a long time. And so we continue to do, again, work in fashion brands. Mm-hmm.
And what about automotive?
Yeah, a lot of automotive. You know, FCA is a long-term customer of ours. As a matter of fact, we're rolling out a very large project right now for FCA. Mm-hmm. Our technology is mandatory in every Fiat, Alfa Romeo, and Maserati dealership. It has now been made mandatory in the Jeep brand, and then all the other FCA, the Dodge and Chrysler and Ram trucks. It's a la carte if the dealer wants to avail himself of that technology.
Right.
So it drives not only a handheld learning component for all the salespeople in the Chrysler salespeople in America, all the way through to the delivery on an iPad application of every vehicle down at the VIN level. And all of that runs on our platform. And we're installed in, 1,500 dealerships, mm-hmm. something like that across America.
And it's a beautiful thing when you get to that mandated level, I assume.
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah, it is. Yep.
I remember reading, the Ronin, wireless Ronin stuff. For years and years, they would talk about how they had KFC, but the reality was they had a head office approval, but then they, from what I understand, at least they had to win the individual owner operators, franchise operators, location by location, which was, a death by 1,000 cuts.
Yeah, it's impossible. Yeah, it's one of the challenges of dealing with a franchise-based organization and selling to a franchise-based organization. It just becomes problematic. Mm-hmm. We have one customer today that we're working with. They're an ad network. The name of the company is 33 Degrees. And 33 Degrees has a contract to put a video wall in 3,000 Circle K's across America. And so we are the exclusive provider of all the technology to 33 Degrees. And so the one benefit that 33 Degrees has is that Circle K is a corporate-owned chain of 8,000 stores across America. They are not franchises.
Okay.
So we're able to help 33 Degrees penetrate and get those installations done quickly.
So the gating factor there is more just the operating and capital budget for 33 Degrees as opposed to Circle K or the franchise operators.
Yeah, that is correct. 33 Degrees has been out seeking funding for, and 33 Degrees has installed about 500 locations, I think, is the number we will have installed by the end of June, give or take. It could be 450, Dave. I don't remember the exact number, but it's in the 450 to 500 range.
Yeah.
They expect to install the other 2,500 over the next 12 to 18 months.
But I'm not familiar with them, but that's relying on brand advertising?
Yeah, it's an ad-based network. No, it's an ad-based network. They actually sell endemic ads. You know, what better place to run a Frito snack ad than right there at the point of purchase, right?
Yeah, I mean, it seems to make sense, but as you, I'm sure you're aware, many have tried, many have failed.
Oh, yeah, sure they have. Yep. There's no question. That is correct. Although I think we're starting to see the growth or the embracing of the ad network, and you know, some of the news, and even in this week's Wall Street Journal, one of the health networks got a valuation of $5 billion for an advertiser network in the health space. So seeing some tremendous things happening around ad networks. And then, of course, you know, Gas TV just merged with did the joint venture with Verifone Pump. Mm-hmm. And that was a transaction valued at, I believe, hundreds of millions. I don't have the exact numbers, but it's a very significant transaction.
So you got into this space with the idea that it was ripe for consolidation, and you obviously did the CRI deal. Are you done, or are you sort of keeping an eye on what's going on?
No, very much not done. Very much, actually, to be honest, I'm just at the beginning stages. You know, I needed to grab a hold of Creative Realities for essentially two reasons. Number one was the platform and create the platform. Number two was the currency. So I now have a platform that has been cleaned up, is operating properly, and one that I can build upon. I'm working on our currency as we speak, and the market is valuing what we're doing as our currency continues to increase. Mm-hmm. It is my expectation this year I will do a minimum of at least one, if not two, M&A transactions that we would hope to announce this year. I have 20 companies, give or take, under NDA that in discussions with. But directionally, we believe we'd like to buy about $15 million in additional revenue this year, Dave. You know, maybe a $6, $7 million competitor, an $8 or $9 million competitor that have great customers and great recurring revenue, that will put us at the $45 million range. And with the backlog and things we have going into 2018, we would expect again to, we won't double in size in 2018, but I would expect us to be in the $70 million north range by the end of 2018.
So these would be smaller versions of CRI?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. You know, one or two will probably be a content management company, just because to get the customer base, you got to buy the whole company, right? So we'll end up doing something like that.
And there's I sense there's any number of smallish CMS companies out there that are, you know, are having those kinds of conversations.
Very much so. You know, if you look at the industry, it's littered today with, you know, there's estimates somewhere between 300 and 600 folks who are in this space, who really focus on digital. And I'm not talking an AV integration company, because we certainly are not a company you would hire to go put screens in a boardroom with a fancy phone.
Yeah.
Right. That's not what we do. We're all about screens, players, content management, and a full suite of services all around it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we believe somewhere between 300 and 600. We believe most of them, Dave, are in the $3 million to $7, $8 million range. They've been there 8 to 10 years. They have no way to scale.
Yep.
And we have achieved scale, and not the scale I want yet, but we're headed towards scale. I believe, you know, if you look at the marketplace over the next 2 to 3 to 5 years, Dave, and who knows, maybe I'm wrong, but, you know, we're going to start to see really large networks be deployed. 30,000, 40, 50,000 node networks are going to be deployed. It's not like the network of 5 years ago where 1,000 nodes was kind of cool and good to have. So as the marketplace stratifies into three layers, right? There's A, the enterprise layer, B, there's the SMB layer, and then maybe C, everything else. I don't know, right? But the enterprise layer, I don't know, 3, 5, 7 people going to occupy that space. Mm-hmm. And clearly, we all know who one or two of the big boys are today.
Sure.
I believe that Creative Realities will occupy certainly the third space as we exit 2018. And that is my goal. Because these world-class enterprises, you know, I just was on the phone with someone today talking about a healthcare network that's 32,000 locations they're going to deploy over the next 3 years. But that particular healthcare company is really going to examine, can this small office located in the somewhere, wherever they are, that's got 30 or 40 employees doing 6 or 7 million, is that who I want to bet on for an enterprise deployment schedule of 30,000 locations? And I would tell you, they're start to examine those relationships and are going to say, wait a minute, I really need to be with one of these. I need to be with one of the big boys.
Right.
You know, there's an old saying in the IT space, you never got fired for buying IBM, right? Mm-hmm. And while I make no purport that we will ever be IBM in this space, our goal is to be one of the 3 to 5 high quality enterprise servicers that is looked at for every transaction. And that's my goal.
Mm-hmm. And just last question, why is this all happening now? Why are we going from this state of rollouts of 500 to 1,000 to, as you say, 10,000, 20,000 unit rollouts?
Well, you know, I think that's all about, it's a combination of a couple of things. Number one, you're seeing the cost of the technology continues to decline, right? Mm-hmm. And so we all get that. Number two, you're starting to see out of home become effective because, you know, the millennials and that whole group, number one, they don't watch TV. They watch Netflix. They don't read the newspaper. They get their news delivered via social media. So the whole changing habits of viewer, of people, of the consumer is rapidly changing. Mm-hmm. Out of home group, 12% last year. It's going to continue to grow. And so I think it's really a combination of those things. And then, you know, last but not least, I will add this. There's a lot of people say Amazon's, you know, really killing retail and really doing all this dangerous stuff. And not dangerous, but Amazon is the cause of all the ills of retail. Actually, no, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. But really, it's not itself the destruction of retail. If you look at retail in this country per capita, okay, we have 25 square feet per capita of retail space built out here in North America. The next closest country is half that. Mm-hmm. So we have a problem of overbuilt real estate in retail, which is calling for rapid consolidation and closure. And the retail space is rapidly evolving to where the consumer needs to be entertained. So it's really a strong market for what we continue to do, Dave.
Hmm. All right, Rick, thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, and I appreciate your time.
That's it for this episode. I hope you enjoyed listening and learned something. If you want to stay on top of what's happening and actually matters in digital signage, join thousands of readers who visit 16.9, that's 16-9.net, every day. If you like this podcast, please also check out the companion 16.9 podcast called Projects. That's done by Michael Tutton, and there's a new episode every second Friday. 16.9 the blog and now the podcast are properties of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare bedroom in my house near Toronto. Thanks to our podcast sponsor, ScreenFeed, and thank you for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.